Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 30th. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about some information about COVID coming from Mexico, information that is not good at all, about the state of COVID down in Mexico. But I want to begin, this is a breaking story here in the last couple of hours. J. Gordon Liddy passed away, I guess, today. He was born in 1930, died, of course, today, 2021. So he was 90, would be turning 91, I guess, sometime later this year. But he passed away today. He had been out of public view, I'm going to guess 10 or 15 years. I know that back in 2005, 2006, when the name of the source, Deep Throat, was finally revealed. I know that he was interviewed sometimes about Watergate, but if you're part of my generation, you know, the Vietnam, let's say the generation that grew up talking about Vietnam, Watergate, Reagan, and we'll talk about Reagan in a few minutes later. But if you're part of that generation, J. Gordon Liddy is the name you're going to remember. He was involved in the Watergate story. I don't remember whether he was part of the break-in or one of the planners. I don't quite remember that. But anyway, he was he refused to negotiate, I guess, with the authorities and was sent to jail for refusing to talk. He would not, you know, answer any questions. He said, you know, I'm not going to provide you any information. So he was sent to jail, where he spent a few years and eventually released. And eventually he ended up doing a talk show on the radio, because I remember here in Dallas we used to get him. I didn't listen to him that much, but, you know, guy's an interesting guy. I mean, politics aside, Watergate aside, I mean, this is a very interesting man. He was a Marine. He fought in Korea. Look, anybody who fought in Korea as a Marine, man, that was quite a task. I mean, the fact is that Korea was awful, an awful war. So anybody who fought in that war, and as a Marine, you were in the forefront of a lot of things. So we remember Gordon Liddy. I guess he just passed away of old age. I don't think it was sudden or anything like that. I think he probably had been debilitating for quite some time. But J. Gordon Liddy, I would recommend to any young person who doesn't understand Watergate, doesn't remember Watergate, I would understand you just get one of his books, because he wrote a lot of things. The guy was extremely interesting. He was a really interesting man. J. Gordon Liddy. I had to think there for a second whether it was J. Gordon or just Gordon, because I don't think they called him J. Gordon Liddy. I think they just called him Gordon Liddy. But anyway, very interesting man. I would recommend that you, particularly the young people who maybe were born after all of this happened, if you're 20-something, you know, check out one of his books, Gordon Liddy, L-I-D-D-Y. Very interesting man. Well, let's talk a little bit about a big story kind of coming out of Mexico. The Mexican government has revised their COVID information. You know, for some time, I had said here on the podcast, and I had interviewed people from Mexico and even people here in the United States talking about Mexico. And we had always said that there was a sense in Mexico that the government was not really telling the truth or did not know what the real consequence of COVID was. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt and let's say that they didn't know. Well, here's the bottom line and why this is important to us. Mexico, with a population of 130 million people, has 320,000 casualties from COVID. The United States, with a population of 330 million, has about 540, 550. So just look at those numbers proportionately. If we had the same fatality rate as Mexico, we would probably be talking about 900,000 casualties from COVID. So this is really bad, the information from Mexico. And again, I had heard this from friends down there who didn't believe the information the government was putting out. Now, how does this tie in? Well, we have people walking through Mexico. We have people who are entering the country through Mexico. So, you know, you've got thousands of people walking through Mexico apparently now or waiting at these camps to come into the country who are then being brought in coming from a country that has a very high rate of COVID. Does that make any sense to anybody? It doesn't to me. And I've said from day one that the Biden administration not only messed up the policies of President Trump, but they've been pretty criminal, I think, on letting in all these people. You just don't let in that many people from a country. I mean, why in the world we would open up in the middle of a pandemic is a good question. But we just don't let people in at a time like this. So I just wish somebody would ask President Biden that question. Nobody seems to ask him any tough questions these days. But just ask him a question, very simple question. Does it make sense to bring in people into the country from a place like Mexico or Central America where you have such high rates of COVID? Does that make any sense? And we'll see what the answer, we'll see what the answer is. But it doesn't make any sense to me, not one bit at all. It just doesn't make any sense. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today, Tuesday morning, talking about the fact that, you know, Senator Romney of Utah, former presidential candidate that I supported, let me say that in the interest of full disclosure, not only did I vote for him in 2012 running against President Obama, but I also supported him in the primaries. And back in 2008, I was also a supporter of Mitt Romney. I had very high expectations for Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney voted, as you probably know, voted to convict President Trump twice, in the first and in the second impeachment. And the JFK Foundation, which is, I guess, an organization connected to the JFK Library in Massachusetts, they give out an award called the Profile in Courage, or Profiles in Courage. And this is, of course, based on the book that young John Kennedy wrote when he was a senator called Profiles in Courage. And this was a book that went back in history and dug up people who stood up for principle rather than, you know, going along with everybody else. For example, the biggest case in the Profile in Courage book that John Kennedy wrote was the senator from Kansas who voted not to convict. Not to convict Andrew Johnson back in 1868. Had he voted to convict Andrew Johnson, President Andrew Johnson, President, would have been removed from the White House because he would have been convicted by the Senate. Anyway, this senator said, no, I'm not going to convict him. And because of that one vote, President Andrew Johnson stayed president until his term was finished. So that was one of the people who received a Profile in Courage. Well, Senator Romney has received one, I guess, for voting against or voting for the conviction of President Trump. And, you know, it's an interesting award, and I mean, I don't think he should get this award. But anyway, my real point for the article, though, was that I think the JFK Foundation should take a look at Representative Henry Cuellar of the South Texas area. This is a Democrat who has been standing up to the White House and criticizing the White House. I mean, this is a real profile in courage. This is a man who's going against his party and against his president, opposing what's happening on the border. Now, he should be getting a profile in courage. because I think he's doing something a heck of a lot more courageous than what Senator Romney did, with all due respect to Senator Romney. So I hope that the people in the Profiles in Courage Foundation, I hope they hear me out, and I hope they give the award to Representative Henry Cuellar of South Texas, who has really been going against his party here. But he makes a lot of sense, and I think he makes a lot of sense to the people in South Texas with respect to this illegal immigration. Well, the Democrats are once again running into problems with gun control. You know, every time we have one of these incidents, they go out, and the first thing they do is they dig up the old speech from the last tragedy, and they give the same speech about how we need more gun control and so on and so on. Well, the problem is that they voted for something in the House, but they know that it's dead on arrival when it gets to the Senate. And it's dead on arrival because they've got 50 votes, but in reality, they only have 48. Assuming all the 48 voted together, which is another question, but there's two, Senator Tester from Montana and Senator Manchin from West Virginia, who've already said no, they're not going to vote for these gun control measurements. So, you know, we've seen this before. We've seen this movie before. The Democrats get on the microphone and they start talking about gun control and background checks and all of that. When they actually put it to a vote, when they actually put it on the floor of the House or the Senate, it runs into a lot of problems. And the problem, the first problem that it runs into, is that a lot of Democrats represent districts where people like to own their guns. And especially if you represent rural areas. You know, maybe the cities are a little bit different, but in the rural areas, there's a lot of people who understand the importance of having a gun, and they're not going to give it up. And so the Democrats run into these problems every time they try to bring it to the floor because it just doesn't have the votes. And it happens every single time, and I'm sure they don't have the votes right now. They don't have the 60 votes in the U.S. Senate to do anything with it. So if it gets to the Senate, it's just going to die because, again, they don't have the 60 votes to do anything whatsoever. Well, it was 40 years ago today, and I say 40 years, and I have to really check the calendar twice because it's hard to believe that it was 40 years ago. I guess it just shows you how much older we are. But it was 40 years ago that President Reagan was coming out of that hotel in Washington, D.C., and you could hear the bullets, and the president got hit, ended up in the hospital. We all remember the incident. And we all remember, you know, just that feeling that you had when you heard that President Reagan had been shot. I mean, you just had that awful feeling, oh, my gosh, you know. Oh, my gosh. You know, that was the feeling that I had watching all of this on television. For a while there, we really didn't know exactly what the condition of the president was. I mean, we weren't really 100% sure whether he would make it or not. Then as the evening moved on, and they had the medical doctors talk about the injuries, then I think it became more clear that he would survive. But for a while there, I mean, a lot of people didn't know just how badly he was hurt. So 40 years ago today, but it also made me think of something else 40 years ago today, and that is President Carter, who President Reagan replaced, has now been out of office for 40 years. He was, of course, president from 1977 to 1981. I don't think we've had a former president outlive his presidential term 40 years. I can't think of one. I know that President Ford left the White House in 1977 and died in 2006, so I guess that would make it about 30-plus years. But 40 years, that is, I'm pretty sure that's a record for having the longest amount of time since your presidency. So President Carter, my gosh, 40 years ago, he left the White House. And, of course, President Reagan, 40 years ago on this day, was the assassination attempt that was just absolutely stunning. I think, as I said, when I heard it, I can still remember the moment I heard the news. It was like, oh, my gosh, not again, or I hope he makes it. I don't remember exactly what I said or felt, but it was somewhere between those two things, you know, not again, and I hope he makes it. Well, he did, and he completed two very successful terms. President Reagan, 40 years ago today. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.